Good morning. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. This is part of Jesus' long conversation with prayer and instructions at the Last Supper. We will hear the voice of the historical Jesus speaking to his disciples in their time of impending crisis. We'll hear the voice of Jesus speaking through the writer of the Gospel of John to his community, which was in crisis of persecution. And we will hear the voice of Jesus through the Spirit of Christ for us today here in this beloved community. Let us listen through the filter of our strengths and struggles, our gifts and challenges, our fears and hopes and dreams for the opportunities of God's work through us. As God, our loving Father, has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept God's commandments and abide in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what its master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from God. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that God will give whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands, so that you may love one another. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Do you feel chosen by Jesus to be God's friend, to abide in God's love and joy in such complete fullness that it bears the fruit of transformation in your life and in the lives of those around you? This is not just a life for saints and holy hermits. This is a life that God has for all of us, if we keep the commandments of Jesus to love one another. Jesus tells us in our scripture, when we love one another, heeding all Jesus taught us about love, we are his friends and thus friends of God. This love is reflexive and reciprocal and regenerative. As friends of the loving God, we are empowered to follow Jesus' commands to choose love. After the death of my mom in 2014, I sat with my dad in the local coffee shop in his small town in Missouri, and we talked about life and death and life after life and heaven. Many of you know he was a pastor and a professor and a theology professor and a preacher. I always loved talking with him about these things. He confessed to me that day, "I do not know about heaven or afterlife. But what I hope is that after death, I will learn to love as God loves." Perhaps this is the aspiration that Jesus has for us, as he did for his first century disciples and friends, to love as God loves. What might that look like? because I think that is the invitation here. It begins with knowing that we are chosen. I struggle with that. I feel like I'm just an ordinary person, one among so many. Why would God even notice me? Yet Jesus tells us we are each chosen to be friends. The idea is bigger than my brain can conceive. I can only tell you that I had an experience this very week about being chosen. I sat down to practice, and that is the operative word because I don't feel very good at it, to practice centering prayer. I got settled and centered, and then our wonderful year-old dog, Bridie, came and stuck her nose right in my lap, right in my hands. I tried to gently push her away and get settled, centered again, and she came back, this time with her big purple toy bone. Again, I tried to disengage, but she persisted, and finally she just draped herself across my lap, putting her face in mine with lots of kisses. I think God is like this. I really do. Choosing us time and again in our face at unexpected times with love, with so much love that we might first see as a distraction. It might even be in the middle of some spiritual practice that we think we're supposed to do. God is always with us, sometimes distracting and disrupting like a playful puppy or cat. Calling us to love. Jesus says that we become friends by keeping the commands of love, the commands to love. In the midst of this, we will know we are chosen. That's a bit circuitous, isn't it? Looking concretely to examples of friendship in my life, to those friends of mine that are closest, that have been with me through all the nitty-gritty ups and downs, highs and lows of life, that aren't afraid to tell me the truth, I have found that in true friendship, I seek to take on the best characteristics of my friends. If we take on the best characteristics of our friends here in life, then as friends of God through Jesus, might we take on the characteristics of the loving God who has chosen us? My dad longed for 80 plus years, I think, at some level, to learn to love as God loves. After 80 plus years of practicing, perhaps he knew more about it than he thought he did. And I'm reminded in this passage of another surprising experience of being chosen to love as God loves. In the spring of 2009, I was chosen by the pastor emeritus of the church I was serving in Denver to be part of the Rocky Mountain Conference Global Missions Team missions trip to Venezuela. For we were in partnership with a denomination there called the United Evangelical Pentecostal Union of Venezuela, a mouthful, shortened to the WEPAVE, that's the acronym in Spanish. Very early on a frosty Sunday morning in April, I met the other 9 mission team members at DIA to set off for Maracaibo, Venezuela. We were prayed over and anointed with oil by that very pastor that had chosen me right at the United ticket counter, and then we took off. Our layover was in Miami, and as we walked from our gate to the International Concourse, we walked through one of those airport art displays. It was big glass cases with 6 or 7 foot high letters, all made in bright, brilliant flowers, something out of the Rose Bowl parade. And the letters spelled out, "All you need is love." Prophetic words. Very late that night, we were met in Maracaibo by our Venezuelan partners, including their bishop, Gamaliel Lugos. It was a swarm of joy as people rushed to carry our bags and help us into cars. Over the course of the next 10 days, the people of the Wepave never failed to amaze me with their deep and enthusiastic engagement with life lived in and through the love of God. And as you may know, this was not an easy place to live, Venezuela, even in 2009. And right now, it is one of the hardest places in the world to live because of policy and the failure of their politicians to have a government that helps the people. Yet these people lived, and I think they still do, lived large in a country riddled with poverty and injustice. Their love of Christ was inseparable from their political commitment to build a new world of justice for all the people. They lived out Jesus' preferential option for the poor, and they were raising up women as leaders, working for women's rights. They seemed to abide in God's love to such an extent that joy was their MO, their modus operandi, each moment of their lives. As friends of God, they literally lived the motto, "We will struggle, but we will not die." The bulk of our time was spent at a work project in a little town called Espino in the foothills of the Andes. We stayed in a guest house, but our real home was just a few blocks away in the small house of Gladys and Omar Gonzalez, who hosted us and hosted each of our meals for a week. They gathered teams of people to prepare the meals for our group of 10 or so, as well as 6 or 8 Venezuelans, whoever might show up, to help with the work project we were doing at the finca, the farm that the Wepave owned in Espino. They fed us fresh vegetables and fruit from the Gonzalez's open-air market, and they were grilling arepas, those are like little tortillas, only fatter, on their George Foreman grill, and they were roasting meat in their backyard. Omar and Gladys became una familia, family. They laid down their lives for us. You know, you do not have to die to lay down your life for your friend. But you do have to open your heart so wide that life might not always be convenient for you as you offer hospitality and love to others. But it will be joyful. There are two things I experienced in Venezuela that opened my eyes wider to abiding in God's love. One was the work on the finca, the farm. We were there, ironically, to build a wall around the land that the farm still had with a community center in the middle. Now, they had had much more land, but squatters had come and claimed that land, some of it. People so poor that they had nothing, but when they saw open land, they just overnight would build a shack, claim it, and begin to plant a few vegetables in their yard. The people of the Wepave, that denomination, they could have legally prosecuted the squatters and shooed them off the land, but they decided that it was more Christ-like. It was what they were called to do, to let them have the land and to invite them into God's beloved community through the activities on the finca. So we worked to build a wall around what was left of the land. So they did have some room to do their activities. That was the stated project, and progress was made, but the real work was made manifest in the smiles, the laughter, the halting sentences of banter and praise for any new post hole that was successfully dug. All of these made across language barriers, of course. And often there were songs echoing across the field, strewn with mangoes that were literally falling from the trees, and the sound of children who played impromptu baseball games with the green mangoes that were not ripe enough to eat. I learned about love in that sacrificial giving of that land that the Wepave gave to people much poorer than them, and they are definitely not a rich denomination. The second experience was in the nightly worship at Iglesia Pentecostal de los Olivos, the local Wepave church. This church had been taken out of the denomination by a fundamentalist pastor, but now he was gone, and the church, much to the relief of most of its members, was returning to the denomination. Our presence was the catalyst for Wepave folk from around Venezuela to join in the celebration of reunion and to commission new pastors for that church. Pastors from all over brought people from their little churches to welcome Los Olivos back into the Wepave fold, back into working for the poor and women's rights, for working ecumenically with other denominations, and for creating indigenous Venezuelan worship using their songs and their liturgies. The love in those lively worship services was palpable, and we were embraced by it. On the last night, they actually commissioned our beloved hosts, Gladys and Omar, as the new lay pastors. Each night, Bishop Lugos would speak to the crowds, reminding us that God is not only with us, God is in us, abiding in us, just as we abide in God. At the end of the service, he would ask us to pass the peace, saying, "Not peace be with you, but I love you. I love you." That was a little intimidating at first. I didn't want to be fake. I didn't know these people, and I didn't even know the people on the mission team that well. I didn't speak Spanish. And yet I had to plunge in saying in English, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And in Spanish, "Te quiero, te quiero, te quiero." And I found it wasn't fake or mushy or awkward or sentimental. I had for a brief time entered into the nitty-gritty life with these folks, nitty-gritty of life with these folks. Meals shared, walls built, prayers prayed. For a brief time, we had been abiding in love across the barriers of language and culture. And so saying, "Te quiero, I love you," was real. If we were here in the Plymouth Sanctuary together today, I would invite us to break out of our white Protestant intellectual selves and try this practice. I think that you would find God's love in your face as viscerally as the dog kisses that interrupted my prayer time. My friends, I tell you this rather longish story today to invite you to take the risk of knowing that you too are chosen. You are chosen by God. So reach out. Accept the invitation. It will take you to some strange and wonderful and, yes, very hard places. My heart breaks every day as I think about what's been happening in Venezuela during this time of pandemic and political, terrible political turmoil there. I pray for my friends, my un familia that I knew so briefly there. And I tell you that if you accept this invitation, it will be worth it. What is calling to you through the ministries of Plymouth that will empower and nurture your friendship with God will help you know that you are chosen. Jesus says to us, "I have chosen you in God's love to be friends of God. Keep my commands to love, and you will discover, even in this life, in your heart of hearts, what it can mean to love as God loves. Amen.